You know, I'd like to add something that I meant to, bring out in the talk. And I want to read the first reading of today, the Solemnity at the last Sunday in Ordinary Time, the Solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ as King of the Universe. It's from the first reading is from Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep, as a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered, when it was cloudy and dark. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord God. The lost I will seek out. The strayed I will bring back. The injured I will bind up. The sick I will heal. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy, shepherding them rightly. As for you, my sheep, says the Lord God, I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. The word of the Lord. And the responsorial psalm was, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Besides restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. You know, I want to emphasize these readings today, as well as, you know, the second reading from Corinthians and the gospel from Matthew, you know, about the, you know, showing the Lord as in his authority, in his kingship, and you know, the that shows his authority, his as king and as shepherd and as judge. The three readings emphasize, you know, his kingship, his being a shepherd and coming as our judge. So, and particularly in the first reading, you know, the tenderness of the mercy of God in this, and, you know, as a shepherd tends his flock, when they're scattered, so will I tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place they were scattered. You know, when it was cloudy and dark. You know, cloudy and dark in our original sin and in our brokenness and, you know, in our culture. And the lost I will seek out. The strayed I will bring back. The injured I will bind. The sick I will heal. You know, this is what the whole, my emphasis in the talk was on, our emotional wounds, that this group is based on, you know, the same-sex attraction, our emotional wounds that we come before, and we come on our knees before the Lord and his authority as king and judge, you know, and as shepherd to help us to bind our wounds, to heal our wounds, to care for our wounds, to you know, the sick I will heal, our emotional wounds I will bind them up. You know, his heart, his sacred heart, in wanting to care for us and shepherd us and bring us to on the right path. You know, a shepherd doesn't let the sheep go off to get killed and to get mauled and to get to stray. No, the shepherd's always keeping them, the sheep, in order and in line. You know, and leading them somewhere, leading them on a path. You know. You know, so that's what Jesus is always trying to do with us, is to shepherd us, to care for us, to lead us on the right path, and the truth. You know, chastity is the right path, you know, for persons that are experiencing same-sex attraction and the emotional wounds of same-sex attraction. And you know, it struck me because I see there's a whole group, well, you know, the LGBTQ has a hold on everybody, and there was a TV program that came out that was showing the life of a woman who lived in the 18th century called Ann Lister, who was, you know, experiencing homo emotional feelings and desires, same-sex attraction, in those times when it wasn't even given a name, or, you know, nobody really understood what that was all about, and she didn't really understand either too much what was going on inside of her, and you know, she was you know, a woman who really owned herself, and anyway, she, but the whole story, you know, is about her defying, like, the norms of the times, and not overtly, but covertly, you know, and she did it in a hidden way, in plain sight, in a hidden way, and you know, she would, you know, have experiences with women, and sexual experiences with women, and then finally, she wanted to get married to a woman, and they were Anglicans, you know, they were Christians, they were Anglicans at the time, and it was important to her to, you know, to have it done. You know, they read the Bible a lot. You know, she left these diaries, and it, you know, it talks about, you know, she put down in great detail a lot of her, you know, experience and thoughts and desires, and you know, they were very much churched, and she, her desire was to really to get married to a woman and take the sacrament. You know, she would say, "Would you take the sacrament with me?" You know, you know, the Anglicans are the Episcopalians in our country that are very close to the Catholic Church. You know, and they do have the Eucharist. It's not consecrated. It's not, you know, a real consecration, but they believe it is, and you know, that was Henry VIII's, you know, when he separated the church, when he, you know, committed adultery, and he loved the Catholic Church. He really loved, he loved the Eucharist. He really did, Henry. I've read and seen things about Henry, but, you know, his ego and his pride and his, you know, his lust overtook him, and you know, he and the Pope would not condone his marriage to another woman that wasn't his wife, and you know, he caused the separation, the separation into the Anglican religion. So it became the Anglican, because he made himself king, you know, over the Pope. Anyway, so, you know, this woman, Ann Lister, had this desire to really take the sacrament and to be united. You know, she had God in mind, you know, needed and wanted God's approval, and you know, it was misguided and she was well-intentioned, but misguided, and, you know, however the Lord dealt with that, but they ended up doing that, and it's, you know, this whole show created all these women from all over the world, and, you know, who are part of the LGBT community, and people that, you know, were, they're saying that a lot of these people, you know, the show helped them to come out. And, you know, if you're going to come out and say, and, you know, admit that you have these feelings and desires, that's all well and good, but, you know, it's what you do with that. And, you know, and of course the LGBTQ agenda is always to, you know, go into the lifestyle and sanctify the lifestyle. You know, make the lifestyle holy. You know, make it a right, and appear that it's right and it's holy and it's good and it's all of that. Well, maybe not holy, but good, you know. And I've seen a lot of these women in these groups that online and in Facebook, and they, you know, it's heart-wrenching because it's like I understand their emotional wound because I myself experienced that emotional wound and what this whole group is about, you know. And so I pray for them. I pray for their healing and conversion to come out of the light and to come out of that, of the, you know, the, of the LGBTQ mentality. I'm sure Ann Lister, who, you know, who actually died before she was 50, you know, wherever she is with the, with God right now, you know, her desire would be for them to come into the light also, and, you know, to know that, you know, the difference that God, you know, loves the person that's experiencing this, this wound and this deprivation, homo-emotional deprivation, you know, but the answer is not to promote the lifestyle and glorify, you know, glorify the lifestyle. That's the word, glorify. So, you know, it's just heart-wrenching to see so many people caught up in this, and they're very caught up in the actress who played the part, Saran Jones, who's a very good actress. And you know, and they themselves, and the writer, Sally Wainwright, who really, you know, said that they, their emphasis wasn't just on sexualizing this woman, because she had a lot of courage and attributes about her, her personality and her person, and courage, and she was an entrepreneur. She, you know, there was a lot more to her, to her than just you know, they say she's the first lesbian. They're crowning her the first lesbian. The LGBTQ community are crowning her the first lesbian in that, you know, in that era. It was 1834, when this show was between 1832 and 1834, and, you know, just the that she stand, you know, she was, she wasn't a woman who was you know, being she wasn't your typical woman. You know, she had a lot of attributes about her that she took on. She owned this estate. She was a, she went into coal mining business. She did a lot of things that women just didn't do in those days, you know. And you know, that's all well and good on certain levels, but anyway, my main point here is that, you know, it just it's part of my pain right now of reparation, because I understand the wound, and I see so clearly why these women are all you know, getting attracted to this show, because, and even the actress Saran Jones, who she has a certain she's a really good actress, but she also has a way about her that's she has a lot of charisma, and you know, like she's very heartfelt. I've seen her in interviews, and, you know, very down to earth, very caring and loving, and this, that part of her is attracting me, these women, because of the emotional wound, you know, to be noticed and accepted and loved and affirmed. And even in this, in a couple of the scenes with the other, with the woman that she eventually marries, is called Ann, her name was Ann Walker, she had more of a guilty conscience about, you know, she herself was experiencing homo-emotional feelings and desires, but she really didn't know what that was and what it was, and until Ann Lister kind of brought it to her attention and brought it out in her, really. But, you know, she had more of a conscience about it. They call it like a, they call it homophobia toward herself, but it was a religious conscience. It was conscience, and it, and she had a lot of scruples, which She had a mental breakdown over it, and in a lot of the episodes, you saw Ann Lister being very kind and gentle and loving, and you know, just the way she was, a very you know, a lot of female ways that any woman that has this deprivation, these emotional wounds for the, you know, for not, as Elizabeth Mobley said, not really connecting, not really bonding with their mother for whatever reason, and you know, or having other experiences that with men that might have molestation or whatever that might have caused a trauma, you know, where they aren't able to have emotional bonds with a man. You know, you could see, I could see why all these women have come together now like a community to support this show, because you know, they're feeling something from the character played by Suanne Jones that is feeding, you know, feeding this emotional wound. But I myself experienced it watching it, you know, this emotional wound that you know, for the to get in the arms, as I mentioned before, to get in the arms of like that guy who said, "I need a hug," from the other man. Well, it's like the same thing with the woman. They need a hug. They need to be in the arms of a woman and felt, you know, that love and affection and approval and valid, you know, to be validated and desired and all of that, you know, that they didn't get from their mothers, or they were traumatized, you know, in another way by men. So anyway, I just bring it out because it's something that's going on, and I've kind of I don't know, it fell in my lap, and I just see how these women are relating to this show and to this character, and I know it's the emotional wound, and that's, it's not, you know, saying like what the LGBTQ wants the people to know, that, oh, you know, this brings out their, that they're gay and they're born gay and they need, you know, they need to be this in this religion and this this relationship, and they need to get married, and, you know, promoting gay marriage, promoting the activity, sexual activity, the lifestyle, you know, no, that's not what I see in this whole thing. These women are, you know, their emotional wound is what's, they're being touched, you know, by the emotional wound in this program, in this person. Suanne Jones playing Ann Lister. They're being, you know, they want that sense of, you know, being in the arms and getting this embrace, you know, this deep level of embrace by a woman, not sex. It's not about sex. It really isn't. The LGBTQ community wants that, you know, they want to promote it that way, you know, that it's, you know, it's all about gay marriage, and but it's not. It's about the emotional wound of a person experiencing homo-emotional feelings and desires. So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there because maybe, you know, somebody may be listening and have experienced this show. And, yeah, so, you know, to get into the light, come more into the light about it, about what's really going on psychologically, you know. And it's a psychological, emotional wound, a deprivation that we experience, you know, and that's what has to be, you know, we have to unite. Yeah, we still need, it's legitimate, as Elizabeth Mobley says, the wound is legitimate, and the need and the feeling and the desire to you know, have get that hug, get that embrace from the female, you know, but not, it's not cured or fixed or by living a gay lifestyle, by getting married, by, you know, gay marriage, or anything sexual. It's an emotional, psychological wound. So I felt like I needed to get that out there for anyone who's experiencing this emotional wound and has seen this show, and for whatever reason God's allowed it to come out, probably to, you know, help, really to, like, God, you know, Jesus is the good shepherd, and he wants to heal our wounds, he wants to heal our, the lost, he wants to seek out the lost, and the strayed, and the injured, you know, he wants to bind up the injured, and the sick, he wants to heal the sick, and that's, you know, what's going on, that emotional wound, he wants to, we have to give it to Jesus, we have to, in fact, when I had my conversion, I remember the prayer group I went to, and then afterwards I was brought to the guy's house, and they prayed over me. He said, and I told him what was going on, you know, about my feelings for this friend of mine, you know, that I was in this, you know, I was in this relationship with a friend of mine that I was in pain about because, you know, she was, you know, she wasn't, she didn't have same-sex attraction exactly. She, you know, she experimented. She probably had some deficits of an emotional wound there with her mother, but you know, she was starting to fall in love with some guy, and it threatened my relationship with her, and that's the pain I was in when I encountered the Lord, and how he came into that pain of mine, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to enter into our pain, and you know, and only, and the guy, the leader of the group said to me, only Jesus can heal this. Only Jesus can help you. And, you know, that's true. Only Jesus can help us to heal that wound and to, you know, restore our dignity and our integrity and to you know, help us to come into our own and own ourselves, and that's what Ann Lister was doing. She was really owning herself in the 1800s there as a woman, and you know, God, that's what Jesus wants us to, you know, own ourselves. You know, we need to come into a deeper sense of self-worth and self-esteem, you know. But anyway, that's, you know, we need Jesus, and I, you know, continually, and I bring to this hour of reparation that all these women, you know, that are in this, that are experiencing this emotional wound, and that they be brought out of the darkness and into the light, out of the darkness of the LGBTQ agenda, you know, saying that they have to live the lifestyle and they have to get married, gay marriage and all that, and, you know, and not live it, and, you know, to bring them into the light of understanding chastity and living a chaste life and relationship with Jesus, because, you know, when we, what helped me and what needs to happen is when you have a relationship with Jesus, you're saying yes to a person. Like when Jesus was teaching me and I was in my process of understanding chastity and I came to understand it as becoming, you know, sober in my relationships and to have that self-control and how that, that was the power of chastity, was integrating me in myself and with God. You know, that's what needs to happen. you know, that chastity, people need to come into that to understand what chastity is all about, and the power of chastity, and, you know, how it unifies us within ourselves and with God, you know, and preserves our dignity and our integrity. So I'm sure Ann Lister would agree from where she is now. So we pray for her soul, and we pray for all these women that are experiencing this right now, for that they come out of the darkness and into the light, into God's healing light, into the love of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Amen.